Amazon Business honors Ricardo Gurgel, owner of Veggie Root Tavern. This week, Ricardo saved big and used Amazon Business to help his team buy commercial deep fryers at a quantity discount. Because even veggies can be fried.
I'm gonna need 2 orders of fried fiddleheads.
With business buying easier than before, Ricardo now uses his extra time to focus on growing something big. Buy smarter, dream bigger. Visit Amazon Business, your partner for smart business buying. Mmm, fiddleheads. Yum.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Oliver Rader, whose delightful new book, 7 Games of Human History, takes us not only into the games that we played as young people play today, but also how artificial intelligence has entered the games to improve or challenge or humble or make us doubt the word think. I do after reading Oliver's book. So we go to the game of bridge and Scrabble simultaneously. I learned from Oliver that bridge isn't really very old. It's about Victorian era. Before that, there was a game called Whist, which is similar but different. And I learned that bridge may be not conquerable by computers. How to put this, Oliver? Because I wrote down here that there are 53 billion parts of a possibility of a hand. So is AI ready for that?
Yeah, it may come as a relief to hear that bridge is the only game in the book at which humans are still better than computers. You're exactly right. Computers have not yet, I think conquered is a fair word, conquered the game of bridge. Why in this age of high technology can that possibly be true? One is what you've just mentioned. Bridge is unbelievably complicated mathematically. The possibilities of dealing a deck of cards, the possibilities of how the auction might go that occurs at the beginning of a bridge hand, the possibilities of how you play the cards in the card play portion of a hand, and you sort of multiply all these enormous numbers together and you get sort of an incomprehensibly enormous number, which is difficult for a computer to sort of work its way through. That's one thing. And another thing is bridge. I think the more romantic explanation is that bridge has these features that sort of seem extremely human. Like bridge requires communication. It's unique among the games in the book that you play with a partner. And this is a partner that you're talking to essentially during the auction, trying to tell him or her what you have in your hand and vice versa. Bridge requires empathy for both your partner and for your opponents. You sort of have to put yourself in their shoes to sort of imagine why they're playing the way they are. And so it has these sort of human elements that might make it seem sort of anathema to a computer. And I think the third reason, and sort of the saddest reason, is that just bridge is sort of a dying game. Popularity of bridge has been waning for decades, and this sort of gives it less appeal to a computer scientist who might want to conquer it and sort of garner attention and acclaim. And that's less likely in bridge, which doesn't have the cachet that something, say, like chess in the West does or a Go in the East does, and so on.
We play bridge also to talk and to be cheerful. I did note there was one exciting moment in the bridge story where you introduced us to the world of bridge cheating. I love this, Oliver. It teaches you a game, how you can beat the other team without actually bidding correctly. It was how you, best I understand it, there's a formality in championship contract bridge. And after you deal the cards, you have some device, some tablet that you have to move. Is that correct? That's what you move off the table.
Yeah, I mean, there's an enormous amount of infrastructure in competitive bridge meant to forestall cheating. Like if we're playing, if you and I are playing casually, we can just sit at a normal table. But if we're playing in a high-level bridge tournament, there's a large divider cutting the table in half diagonally so you can't see your partner. There's a small slot in the bottom of this board, of this divider, where we slide our bidding cards and so on. This is this whole sort of infrastructure designed to prevent cheating. But of course, where there's a will, there's a way. And despite all of this equipment, humans found a way to cheat. And how do you do this? Well, in communication and bridge is very important, but you're only allowed to communicate in very, very specific ways. So no secret signaling allowed, essentially. And what certain teams and certain pairs in bridge were doing was placing this certain piece of equipment at a certain angle if they wanted to indicate they had a strong hand in diamonds, at another angle meant clubs, and so on. So the very, very subtle ways of using the equipment meant to prevent cheating to, in fact, cheat. And sort of one top bridge pair after another in the last few years was discovered to have been engaged in some form of illicit communication, which in bridge is the mortal sin.
We moved to Scrabble quickly because I've played Scrabble and know that I shouldn't play again against someone who's who's memorized the words for that are in two letters, three letters, four letters, five letters, six letters, and seven letters. And that's necessary to enter into championship Scrabble, which is played in Reno, Nevada. I love this. North American Scrabble Championship near Reno, Nevada. The game or the challenge is you come in with the same knowledge everybody has. And then there's luck to it, isn't there, Oliver? What you draw out of the bag?
Yeah, that's right. That's the source of the randomness in Scrabble is you stick your hand into a bag blindly and what comes out is what you have to work with. So there's a huge amount of luck in Scrabble. Of course, there's also a huge amount of skill, like most, in my opinion, most good games balance luck and skill. And yeah, Scrabble's interesting. You know, a lot of the games in my book, checkers, chess, Go, the rules are very simple. The rules could sort of fit on a sheet of paper or two. But in Scrabble, the rules are really the Scrabble dictionary, these 200,000 odd words, and their inclusion in the dictionary is a rule indicating their validity in the game, and their absence from the dictionary is a rule indicating their invalidity. And sort of to learn, to become good at Scrabble is to learn tens and tens of thousands of words, which I did to the, you know, detriment of my graduate school studies, that what I was supposed to be spending time doing. I was at one time a fairly good tournament Scrabble player. So yeah, sort of dusted off the dictionary, headed to Reno for the 2019 North American Scrabble Championship, and was frustrated very deeply for 3 or 4 days.
However, you did help me. I copied down words I had no idea of that I could play once I find somebody to play Scrabble with. WUD, W-U-U-D. It means insane. Who knew? It looks like you made it up.
Well, Scrabble's really wonderful in this way, in that it unlocks vast portions of the dictionary that we would never have, you know, much cause to use. I mean, foreign currencies, bygone foreign currencies, and obscure branches of obscure religions.
And save your S's. Yeah. Always save your S's. I learned from Oliver Rader. The book is Seven Games. We're going to seriousness now. Chess. The book is Seven Games, Human History. I'm John Batch.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.